in secret. You know, many people think that our Father, He speaks in mysterious ways. He keeps everything secret. He talks whereby we don't understand. And, you know, for some people that's true. But do you know who that is true and who it applies to? Idol worshipers. To God's elect, He speaks very clear, very precise, and to the point. It's amazing in the Greek tongue, we're going to be using mostly Hebrew, but I'll give it in the Greek anyway, siget. And the prime is to hiss or to hush. And we still use that to this day, you know. But that does not, that is not befitting of our Father if you love Him. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. Let's analyze what the Scripture has to say as far as understanding our Father's Word, His will, and His commands. Chapter 2, the great book of Proverbs, and verse 1, it reads, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments," that means lay them up. It doesn't mean tuck them away and forget them. "Lay them up in your mind, commandments with thee." Now, does that sound like he's trying to hide something? No, he wants you to receive his word. Verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear, you open it up unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding." Set your mind for understanding. Not shadows, not darkness, not confusion, but clarity, understanding, love, and peace of mind, knowing your Father wants you to hear. He doesn't only want you to hear, He wants to lay it up in your mind, whereby you know how to react when those that do not understand are around, that you can be helpful even, be useful to someone. Verse 3, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding," that means if you don't understand something, ask Him. Let your voice be heard to say, "Help me understand this." Because everything our Father teaches basically is simplistic. It's just common sense. Okay. People want to muddy the water. Is it so that others couldn't understand and you have something private to yourself? It's not. Nothing is given for any personal interpretation. It's given in common sense, open, when your ears are open. But you've got to understand, there are some people that just do not have ears to hear. The very simplest things, they can't grasp it for more reasons than one. Some they don't want to, others our Father has sent the spirit of delusion. Verse 4, "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures," that means really precious stuff that you keep tucked away. If you'll go for truth that strong and with that vigor, you're going to find it. And what is truth? It's the Word of God. It's God's words. So does this sound like he's trying to hide something? Does this sound like he's trying to keep some secret? Quite the contrary. But there are qualifications. I mean, it's not saying anything here about an idol worshiper. It's talking about people that thirst for truth, that are anxious to find the love of God, anxious to find the leadership of God in their lives, to have direction and purpose, to amount to something. That's who he's talking to. Those that with zeal search for that is precious. And you would have to know it was precious if you were to look for it in the way that you would for tucked away precious things. Verse 5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord." That's reverence, okay? "And find the knowledge of God." You'll find it. Nobody can hide it from you. You see, this is his promise. You will find it. It's not hidden. It's there for you. But you have to look for it. And when you can't find it on your own, ask Him. He'll tell you. Okay? It's in the Word. It's His Word. He said, you lay them up in your mind. Don't just forget it. Let it build to where you have that truth and absorb it. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. All wisdom comes from God. Don't look for it in man, and don't look for it in the traditions of men. You won't find it there. You might find some paths that are pretty shoddy and pretty rough. But in God's paths, Christ being that path, that way, it's always common sense. Boy, I tell you what, common sense is so easy to come by when you don't try to put on airs or fancy something up totally out of the reach of common sense and just let truth flow, okay? That's all you have to do. All knowledge comes from God. Accept that fact, so then you know who to go to receive it, don't you? Your Father, the nearest relative you have. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Did you understand the conditions in that? He didn't say He did that for everybody. He said, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Not idol worshipers. Not people that don't love God, that don't care. He lays it up for those that do care, those that love Him, those that follow Him. Rest of you, sorry, you're out of luck. Until you get your ears opened up, and until you have your heart and mind opened up to love Him, forget it. That's conditional. Does this mean God is hiding something? Uh-uh. It's there for whomsoever will. Hey, if you know, love is a precious thing. It'll buy you a lot with our Father. That's what He wants from you. You show disloyalty and not love, and you're cut off, friend. You don't amount to a hill of beans. You're not real. That's why Father said to revere, which reverence, revere, or even fear. The same word in the Hebrew applies. It can be translated either way. Fear or revere. And that takes loyalty, that takes love, that takes understanding. And if you're a real person, you're going to love our Father because He's got everything laid out for you. He takes care of you. He makes it easy for you. So it's not asking too much to have you return that love to Him and have the blessings continue to flow. Or you're not righteous, you're cut off, period. You see, there's conditions, and do you blame our Father for that? I don't. You know, people expect to do their way, to fall away and be selfish in their own ways, and they don't understand our Father has an overall plan of salvation that makes it good for everyone that is righteous. Do you know what it means to be righteous? That doesn't mean to be some goody-goody two-shoes. That means to try to do what's right. And if a person has common sense, they're going to try to do what's right. Now, does it sound so far like God's trying to keep any secrets from the righteous? No, absolutely not. Why? He loves them. He loves them when they want to do what's right. 7, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, or He is a buckler. That means we covered that. He's a shield. Do you know what that means? That means when you walk out into the world and somebody's flinging mud, He'll step in. And boy, can He take care of business. He's your buckler. He handles it. He takes care of His own. Don't touch mine anointed. That's what our Father says, and He feels that way. I don't know. It's whether or not you're one of His anointed. That's just real simple to figure out. If you meet the conditions, if you discipline yourself to follow Him and love Him, I'm going to tell you a secret. Discipline is one of the best things in the world. when you discipline yourself and stick to it, then you're beginning to mature. Discipline is maturity. Verse 8, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. He protects the called out ones. That's what that means. That's what a saint is, a set aside one, a called out one, his elect. Did you hear what it said? He keepeth the paths of judgment. In other words, he's going to make sure you get a fair shake. You're going to get what you have deserved. And he watches that path that you walk. That's his promise. Does that sound like he's trying to hide anything from you? I think not. Sounds to me like he loves you and he's caring for you. And he's giving you some very sound advice on where to find wisdom. Now listen, you got a people down here on the corner that spit and whittle. You can get more advice down there than you can shake a stick at. I mean, they've got an answer for everything. But why is it they're not accomplishing something other than sitting there spitting and whittling? You know, I don't think I want to spit and whittle. Okay? If that doesn't accomplish anything, does it? But except a bunch of shavings. Be productive. Be disciplined. Amount to something. Love your father. Okay. Verse 9, Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. That's to say, what's right. Yea, every good path. He's going to help you find those. That's his promise. He's not hiding those paths. There's not dark entrances that you have to have a certain key except love to enter and understanding and to seek his wisdom, to trust him. After all, he is your father. Verse 10. When wisdom to thine heart, when you get that in your mind, wisdom, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Now, that's kind of a condition, isn't it? Again, he didn't say somebody that doesn't give a hoot. He didn't say somebody that doesn't believe in me. Those that enjoy believing in me, those that search out that wisdom. 11, discretion. Do you know what discretion is? It's common sense. Common sense shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. That is your judgment and discernment in life. And that's his promise. He's not hiding happiness from you. You can hide it from yourself. You can confuse yourself. You can muddy the water till not only you can't see the bottom and nobody else can. When you could have taken a clear drink of truth from deep water and all could have seen, maybe even draw some understanding from you when he clears that path. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, to pluck you out of the path of the evil man and to be your buckler, your shield, and to protect you from the evil man. Who is the evil man? Well, it's Satan, of course. If you love the Lord and you meet all these qualifications, guess what? Satan wants you real bad because you're his enemy, and he knows it. But that doesn't matter. The Lord loves you, and what did he say? I'll pluck you out of the path of the wicked. I'll forewarn you. Your discernment will put you way ahead of the game. Common sense will give you survival. Common sense will progress you. It will help you in your way. It will even prosper you. Okay? To deliver you from the man that speaketh forward things. That is to say, his perversiveness in trying to talk you into something that doesn't make sense. Or it can sound so good, beloved, when it comes from man sometimes. It can sound so tempting. It would make you really just shudder when you would think, you know, there are pulpits in this nation where they will say, you're not supposed to understand Revelation. It's a secret. Isn't that ignorant? When the word revelation means to lay open, to reveal, to make known, what? to those that care, to those that love God and search for truth. Otherwise, if you want to be ignorant, God will let you be ignorant. And people that listen to ignorant people are ignorant along with them. That simply means they don't know the truth. To them, it is a secret. It is so deep and so dark. No, it's common sense. Don't you have any? They should have. Okay. It's that simple, beloved. You know, I want to show you something in the scripture itself. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah. Let's let God talk to you a little more about secret things and what he would have you know and understand. And what I want you to know from this, we're going to talk about Cyrus for a minute. Do you think Cyrus was of the tribe of Israel? No. God will use whomever he will to accomplish his purpose, and especially if it's a person that's disciplined and obeys him. Do you know that God even named Cyrus? I mean, named him before he was ever conceived or born. Meaning God can use and shape and deliver whomever he chooses. Chapter 45. In this chapter is hidden secrets from many people from the foundation of the world. You have eyes to see it. They don't. Is it hidden? Not to you, but it is to those that do not study the Word of God, okay, that do not utilize common sense. Chapter 45, the great book of Isaiah, and verse 1 reads, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut." Leaved means it's narrow, but it does mean the gates made in leaves. And he said, "I'm going to let him whip anybody he goes for." Okay, any country or nation he attacks. Because what is he going to do with Cyrus? He's going to restore Israel. Okay. That's his plan. It always offered, and in utilizing him, he brought this to pass. Verse 2, "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron." When God goes before you, how can you lose? Now, do you realize in Proverbs we just read he's going to go before you? That's his promise. If you seek the path of righteousness, if you utilize common sense, God's going to straighten the path out to where, you know, some people have to learn those same old hard knocks over and over and over. Going to head through this gate, they miss the gate and hit a wall and fall on you know what. Over and over, never will they finally wake up to, hey, the path, that path goes there. And they just keep beating their head against the wall all their lives, never learning. And all they have to do is turn to the Father and ask direction. Let him be their guide. Let him be their buckler. It makes life so much more pleasant. It makes life so easy when you utilize common sense. What I want you to know, God has promised Cyrus, "I'm going to open everything that gets in your path. You can't lose, son." But you know something? What makes you think he makes that promise to you that you can't lose? If you believe, if you trust, if you don't think he's some secretive power over here, but he's your Father and he loves you, and he wants you to take wisdom into your mind. Let me tell you something. In life, wisdom is a powerful weapon against enemies. Wisdom is awesome. It keeps you so far ahead of the enemy, he can't even catch you. Okay? And that doesn't mean you're running. You're out foxing him. Okay? Verse 3. "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." That's what I want you to know. In other words, I'm going to let you take the riches of any country you overtake. Verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake, this is the purpose, and Israel mine elect, always God's elect, he takes care of. Are you one of God's elect? I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. You don't know me. You're a foreigner to my people even, but I choose you. I named you before you were ever born, many years before he was ever born, to accomplish the purpose that Cyrus performed, the duty that he performed. God doesn't keep secrets. And why is God doing this? He wants you to see his power, his control. That when he says a thing, he keeps his word, and it comes to pass as it's written. You can count on it. Verse 5, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee through, though thou hast not known me. I've strengthened you. Again, why would God do this? He's showing you something. He can use whomever he chooses to bring forth good paths for those that love him. Verse 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, from the time the sun goes up the farthest, this means everyone, to where it goes down, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And you know what, beloved? You don't need anyone else. And when you begin to think there is something else, another way, other than his plan of salvation, you're looking for a heap of trouble. You're looking for a confused, very, very, very confused life. So I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. This word evil should be translated calamity or woe or distress. Okay, he does not create evil as the English word implies. I, the Lord, do all these things. I bring it to pass. I allow it. Verse 8, drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together to the Lord. I, the Lord, have created it. Created the way that you can find that righteousness. And he takes so much pleasure in that. It makes his day. What does that mean? It means when you simply try to do what's right. Everybody should try to do what's right, you know. Give everybody a fair shake. Don't let anybody run over you. That's not necessary. That wouldn't bring much respect if you allowed somebody to run over you. You hold your ground, but you do what's right. And that's all that God expects from you. He'll take care of the rest. Verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Just wants to change things. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. You let people strive with each other if they want to strive with somebody. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thou work? He hath no hands. In other words, you might strive with each other, but don't you dare try to strive with your father. He's the one that put together your little pot, and he can smash it anytime. A potter can pick up a pot and throw it against the wall if he wants to, if he doesn't like it. Break it in 1,000 pieces. So arguing with God doesn't pay any dividends. And you know, if he was intelligent enough that he could create the heavens and the earth, if he was intelligent enough that he placed those stars up there, who in the world are you that you would think for a moment that you knew anything better than he? Boy, that would be some kind of a mystery, wouldn't it? You would really be something on a stick if that were the case. Maybe that's not a good saying. I don't know, but I said it anyway, all right? Be that as it may. Okay, verse 10. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begattest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? What have you given birth to? You just wouldn't do that. Okay. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. Does that sound like there's some secret he's hiding? No, he said, if you want to know what the future is, ask me. Ask my sons, or let my sons ask me. You know who his sons are? The prophets. Behold, I foretold you all things through the prophets and through Christ. All things. Not some of it, all of it. The question comes, have you read it? That's kind of where the rubber meets the road. Have you tried? If you still see darkness, you need to spend a little more time in the light. Our Father says, you get out there, you look for it, and you will find it. Okay, let's go with 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. That's the stars. I put them there and told them to stay. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. And we're talking about Cyrus again, okay? And he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to use him to accomplish this good thing. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee. And there is none else. There is no God. I mean, people can see power and recognize it, and they know God's got to be blessing that organization. It couldn't be doing what it's doing if it didn't have God's blessings. And this is what he did for Cyrus, who didn't even know God. And God proved a point. That point was proved for you, that he doesn't do things in secret for those that want to know the truth. Verse 15, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. You work mysterious, strange things. That's what some say. You don't want to be in that crowd. Verse 16, they shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together. They are makers of idols. God does hide things from makers of idols. That's somebody that puts anything, a car, a boat, a family, before God. You can't put anything before God, or it becomes an idol to you in a sense. You're not an idol worshiper, are you? If you are, forget it. It's always going to be a mystery to you. Or, if you're one of God's elect, he's going to kick all the rocks out of the road for you, basically. He'll leave a few, but he knows you're a can-do person. You're not a poor me baby. You're not a wimp. He knows you can take care of your own. But he will see and give you the clear path where you can handle it, you can cut it. Verse 7, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. That means forever. If you'll stick with the truth, if you'll stick with God's word, there is no mystery. It's common sense. Live it. Live common sense. And prosper. Be something. 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. You understand? He hath God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. Do you know what he's talking about there? You see, not everybody can understand that verse. Do you know what the word vain here is? It's tuhu. And it's the same word in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where it said, and the earth became void, the earth was void and without form. Well, the Hebrew says it became void and without form. Why? God didn't create it that way. God created it perfect. He created it to be inhabited. And then Satan comes along and tries to conquer our Heavenly Father. Let me ask you a question. How many people do you know that you could say that to and they would understand? Is that secret to some people? You're saying, what? You're saying there was a world, an age before this one? You got to be off your rocker. Now, who's off their rocker? Okay? I'm telling you, God does not hide things, but to some people, they are hidden. Something that simple. I mean, he lays it out there in that 18th verse. I created the earth, not void and without form, but I created it to be inhabited. When I make something, I make it perfect. There's just one thing. He couldn't make man perfect and give man the option of loving him, because love must originate within each entity or it's fake. Okay? Love bought, purchased, demanded is fake. Love that originates from within to our Heavenly Father. That's what he wants. That's what he's after. That's when he gives you eyes to see and ears to hear. And there certainly is no mystery. You understand that there was an earth age before this, and many fell. And we're going to save a lot of them in this earth age. Christ is. Through the path, through the way. We know that. But you go try to share that with most people, and they're not geared for that. They don't understand. It's a secret to them. Why? They don't search the real truth or lay it up in their mind to want to understand the simplicity, the common sense that is in God's Word. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. That's for nothing. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Not secret, not dark. He just talks in a mystery. No, he doesn't. It's only a mystery if you're an idol worshiper. If you don't care, then you can say to you, it's a secret. And that's kind of sad, because we're closing in on a time and an age that you better be sharp. Because you're going to need that sword to glisten. I'm talking about the sword of the truth. It better glisten. Verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God they cannot save. Hey, trouble. They couldn't understand that God created this earth perfect and that it became void because of Satan's fall. And yet it's written in God's Word. Do you know what's wrong? They haven't read it. They haven't absorbed it. They didn't seek the truth. Tell me and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? I did not keep it secret. I've let it be known from ancient times. And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. And of course that has a Messiah connotation, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. That he opens that gate to salvation. Can you receive it? Been there all the time. There is nothing secret with your Father if you ask, if you search. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. That's forever and ever. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. I'm not hiding it. And shall not return that unto me. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. That is the millennium approaching, where it will come to pass that on the first day of the millennium, when Christ appears, every knee is going to bow. Why? Most of the world is going to be deceived by the false Messiah. It is written, and you read it. You have eyes to see. It's not hidden. I mean, Mark 13 makes it so clear anybody could understand a false Christ comes before the true Christ. and that real Christians have to be delivered to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them. What a life. What a time to live. Then every knee shall bow when the true Christ comes. 24, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Boy, you can feel it pour in. Even to him shall men come, and all they are in and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Why? It is hidden to them. 25, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. If you want to be, if you want to be just, it's real simple. All you have to do is believe upon him, trust him, and listen to common sense. Don't allow some man or some entity through the traditions of men rob you. I'm going to real quickly turn to Isaiah 29 just for a moment here. Isaiah chapter 29. When God hides the truth from certain people, they can't help it. But it's their fault, not our Father's fault. Because why? The truth is there all the time. All they have to do is open their eyes and pray for the voice of God to enlighten them. He will. He will not refuse his children. I mean, after all, he chose the name Cyrus. And he loved Cyrus. And Cyrus certainly accomplished what God would have him. We spend a lot of time in this 29th chapter, but let's spend just a little more time again. Chapter 29, the great book of Isaiah, pick it up with verse 10. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. If they want to make their own way to salvation, if they want to go with traditions of men, God will allow them to be stupid. Okay? If that's what they want, hey, he'll help them out. But all they had to do in the first place was listen to the Father. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. Listen, that comes to pass every day in this world today. There are ministers all over the country that say, we don't want to teach Revelation. It's sealed. I mean, this has come to pass. Verse 12, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. 13, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth. Oh, they like to say we're Christian, and with their lips do honor me. Oh, praise God. But have removed their heart far from me, and their fear, reverence toward me is taught by the precept of men. Traditions of men rule them. They listen to men instead of God. The simplicity of truth that flows, shares, becomes your shield, your buckler, and gets all the rough stuff knocked out of the road for you, down cut to your size where you can take care of business. They turn their back on it and listen to men. This is why judgment starts at the pulpit, and it should, because anyone that misleads people will not only answer for his or her own sins, but the sins of all those people they mislead. There's a time coming that's going to be real interesting, my friend. We don't want to say, I told you so, but it will happen. 14, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. And you know, you wonder, well, wonder when that's coming to pass. Well, it already has. They murder some little 12-year-old girl. And your wise men are saying, well, should we put a bracelet on them? one fear, and these things will cease to happen among you. But where is the wisdom? We just don't know what to do with them. It costs so much to keep them alive. Then, guess what? Oh, there we go. 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? We can get away with it. You know, there were some people tried that down in Louisiana, didn't they? It was dark, and they found out that there was some experienced combat people hiding back in the darkness there. And that kind of put a stop to stuff. 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay, for shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? Well, that's the kind of what they're saying to God. His word is worthless. Take God's name out of the vocabulary of the average person. Be modern. Be politically correct. And usually politically correct is morally wrong, friend. Not always, but many times. 17, is it not yet a little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? That has not happened. Has not happened. That's at Christ's return. All's going to be made well. You are very blessed when it is God does not in secret his works concerning you. He is very open. He is very clear. He is loving, and he protects you. Every word, I will be your buckler. I'll take care of those things that you can't. It's his promise. Do you know something? He always, always keeps his word. Let's finish in the New Testament, just two verses. Romans chapter 16, way the last, where it says in verse 25 of Romans chapter 16, the great teachings of Paul. Listen to Paul very carefully. Very little short note here, but to you have eyes to see, and you have ears to hear, and you can clearly understand it. Verse 25, Romans chapter 16. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's Christ, of course, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. The fact that there was an earth age before this and this one, but not secret to you. Verse 26, and now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, and for the obedience of faith. It's open and it's clear for those that have eyes to see. Never, never did God say, I hide this from you. He is always quite the contrary. Said, I opened the book for you. It's my word. Absorb it. It will always bless you. I want you to always remember Mark chapter 13, verse 23. If anyone ever tries to tell you, it's deep, it's secret. What does Mark chapter 13, verse 23 say? Behold, I have foretold you all things. How many things? Behold, I have foretold you all things. So don't you ever let someone give you that business of secrecy. For it does not apply to our Father. He has no secrets except from idol worshipers and those that choose to go a different path than the path he has set forth. That's his way. In secret, no way. With our Father, it's always common sense and success. And to those that are ignorant of God's word. Now, it's a secret. Do you know why? They never even tried. They did not try to understand our Father's word. They're happy with what themselves. look at me. I have a job and I have a home and I eat three squares, so why should I worry? What about the future? We're not talking about here on earth. We're talking about when your well-fed body dies. You know. And you could have peace of mind even while you're in these flesh bodies if you knew the truth. The truth will set you free, my beloved ones. The truth gives you hope and knowledge, and it prospers you. It certainly does. Why? You have an advantage. You get a peek at tomorrow's newspaper. And when you can read tomorrow's newspaper, boy, what a business person you can be. Whew. But don't try to make a living on that strength. It's just common sense. Common sense. Okay? So think about it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word and the fact, Father, that it's not locked, that it's not sealed, that it is wide open, and your love is wide open and flows forth, Father. May we absorb that love, Father, and do your work as we're supposed to in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And we are to follow his footsteps. Was Jesus Christ baptized? Answer, of course he was. John the Baptist did it. Does it preclude one going to heaven if they are not baptized? I can only go by Christ's own teachings when there were two malefactors, unbaptized, hanging on a cross, one on each side of him. And one repented even in death and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus told him, this day, meaning that day, I will see you in paradise. He overcame. Was he baptized? No. Did he make it? Christ said he did. So, should we be baptized? Absolutely. Christ showed the way, and it brings blessings to your life. Bob from North Carolina, does Revelation 3:10 support the rapture theory? Well, it would to somebody that's ignorant, perhaps. But the subject is, concerning the Church of Philadelphia in 3:10, it says, I find no fault with you because you know those that claim to be of Judah but do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan. And by knowing this, I will help you to escape the hour of temptation. Now, because they are ignorant of what the hour of temptation is, then they are deceived. Because what is the hour of temptation? Simplest thing in the world is the hour that people are tempted to worship Satan. Why? Well, Revelation chapter 17, the son of perdition knows he has but one hour, the hour of temptation. And do you know how we escape the hour of temptation? We don't find Satan tempting one iota, do you? Okay, I know you don't. Then those that we escape the hour of temptation because we find him to be it's an hour of abomination to us. Okay, the scum of the earth. And we don't find that tempting at all. But somebody that is ignorant, that wants to fly away and get away from, don't want to work for God, just let me out of here. Got to earn it. That's why you put the gospel armor on and in places to stand against the fiery darts of Satan, Ephesians chapter 6. Not to fly away like a butterfly worthlessly into the atmosphere, but to be worth something, to stand for something or stand for nothing. Okay? That's the way it is. That's why you escape the hour of temptation. It's our battle hour against the conspiracy between the Father and Satan. Stephanie from North Carolina. I've been reading a book about maintaining optional health. They say in Leviticus that you're supposed to eat certain foods that our bodies were meant to eat, but in the New Testament it appears that all that was washed away. Are we still supposed to follow the Old Testament? When did God change flesh? Was there any places written that God changed the makeup of our flesh bodies from the Old Testament to the New? And what is this you mean, in the New it was washed away? I haven't read that. It's not written. Acts chapter 10 concerning Peter in the sheet of unclean meat. Did he eat any of it? No, he didn't. And then God said, I'm not talking about eating meat. I'm talking about, don't call any people, nationality, unclean or uncommon. Call them common, rather. Don't call them common. They're my children. Wasn't talking about eating. And then, of course, me go into Timothy, where it says, don't let any man judge you in marriage or in what you eat, that in the verse 3, that God created to be received. That's what God created to be received, is only clean food. Bodies are still bodies, and if you go eating scavengers that God created, they're good because God created them to keep disease away from man. And when you go killing scavengers and eating the disease and then wonder why you're sick, don't blame it on God. He warned you. Diane from Wisconsin, with all the things going on in the world today, the hurricane, the war, and so on, are these things signs of the mark of the beast? I want to learn more about it. Well, you're lucky. If you haven't received our mark of the beast, call that telephone number and you'll receive one if you've never received one before. It's free. But the end times and the sign of the new coming, the birth of a new age, is listed or are explained as labor pains. When it stipulates there is tribulation in Mark 13, that word tribulation is labor pains. Okay, and how do labor pains come to pass? Closer and closer and closer and closer until there is a birth of a new age. Okay, so all these things that consummate, and it would seem they grow worse and worse, and you know, you've got some yo-yos running around saying it's the environmental condition that we're bringing up our ozone. And this is, everything's getting hotter and hotter. The only hot place there's going to be is in the lake of fire, okay? God has this old atmosphere fixed where man cannot destroy it. It is true that we pollute the area we're around, because it is written in Romans chapter 8 that even the creation groans for the return of Christ to get things back to normal, okay? Lori from Iowa, I have a friend who says she is a devout Christian, but she lives with a man she is not married to. She says God talks to her and gives her visions. I am getting some money, and she claims God gave her a vision and that I should give that money to the church. I hope you don't believe her. Okay. You know, Lori, God's got your address. He's got your telephone number. Don't let some idiot tell you what to do with your money. You're sharper than that. You do what God tells you to do with the money. You don't need her. God doesn't need her to speak to you. She's one of these blabbers that like to gossip and say, God told me, and God didn't send them. Okay? So, in the first place, why I can spot her as a phony. God wouldn't tell you to give all of it to the church. He'd say a tithe, a tenth. And I doubt very seriously that God would even tell you that. That's your own business, okay, whatever you do. But don't listen to crackpots. I'm going to tie this with the question earlier about Proverbs, about a sinner and his money are soon parted. Well, you're not a sinner, so don't let your money be soon parted from you by some idiot saying, claiming to be something she's not, okay? Well, are you judging that woman? No, it's obvious from what she said, okay? God wouldn't say that. That's not God's way. So that documents that she's a phony. That's called spiritual discernment. I can discern she is a phony, okay? And so you do as you feel led from God, not her. I'm out of time. I kind of hate to quit on that because I was really on a roll with that poor little lady. But anyway, maybe God will help her. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all a lot because you enjoy our Father's Word. Don't forget, next time we meet, it'll be Holy Communion. Have the ingredients. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He will always, but I do mean always, bless you. But there's something that's really most important in your life. It gives you direction. It causes God's blessings to fall upon you. And that's this, that you stay in His Word. That's His direction. That's the way He talks to you, one of the ways. Every day in, it's a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The sons of Eli and Samuel, the last two judges of Israel,